Hello and welcome. You're listening to Times of India Sports Podcast. My name is Akash Dasgupta. I am the sports editor of Times of India Online. And on today's episode, we will be talking about something that has been in the news quite a bit now, especially after what happened to Jasprit Bumrah and the fact that Bumrah could not make the cut for the T20 World Cup in Australia this time around. It's a big blow, of course, for Team India because there's absolutely no doubt about the role that Jasprit Bumrah plays. He is, of course, hands down the pace spearhead for the men in blue. But we will talk today not about how it will affect Team India in Australia, but about why and what really happened. Could that have been avoided? Can it be done better in the future? I'm, of course, talking about terms that you have heard before, terms like workload management, terms like strength and conditioning and others, which is why I am really, really pleased to welcome my guest for Sportscast today, a man who really needs no introduction, one of India's most respected strength and conditioning coaches, someone who has been Team India's strength and conditioning coach in the past. It's a pleasure, really, to welcome Ramji Srinivasan to Sportscast. He's been here before, so he knows exactly what we do. And it's a pleasure to have him back here on Sportscast. Ramji, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Akash. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Yes,
it's lovely. Thank you so much for the invite.
Okay, Ramji, it's always great to have you here on the show as well because you're someone who speaks your mind and that's the kind of guest I really like, someone who doesn't really sit on the fence and try to be diplomatic. And talking about diplomacy, one of the things that we have seen of late is the language being used ever since India has lost some of its bigger names in the lead up to the next edition of the T20 World Cup, which is, of course, being held in Australia this time. And when I talk about the bigger names, there's, of course, the number one name was Jasprit Bumrah missing the bus, and then also Ravindra Jadeja missing the bus. And now we know that someone like Deepak Chahar has also been ruled out. Now, all three, of course, of these names being ruled out because of injuries. And no better person in India to talk to about this than you, Ramji, about strength and conditioning and workload management. And I would like to start with workload management first, really. How extensive is workload management, monitoring in India at the topmost level when it comes to elite cricketers?
Very good question to start off with. Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. Good day. In fact, this workload management, there are so many factors which influences workload management. It has become a very fashionable statement to make that I am doing this workload management, et cetera, et cetera. What is it actually? Yeah. We need to know, we need to understand the crux of the situation, what it implies, without knowing that just speaking cliched words and it is not going to take you anywhere in the world of sport or world of performance or excellence. So there are many factors which influences workload management. Basically, it's external load and the internal load to make it, it's a simpler terminologies. And going into the next level is very important is to calibrate loads of parameters, which is of paramount importance to understand the athlete's external load, internal load, and finally the chronic and acute load, which is, these are a few of the jargons which has been used extensively, and a simple jargon is not highly technical. These parameters, and also another parameter is RP, rate of perceived exertion or a BOG scale. These five parameters need to be tailor-made for every individual. It is one. I am a very strong believer of one size doesn't fit all. It has to be bespoke to an individual and bespoke to the skill. Yes, cricket being a multi-skilled sport compared to any other sport in the world. So we need to be very mindful of the fact what you need to infer from the data. Because I just read an article today that around 80 to 85% of the data collected, collated over a period of time in load management or strength and conditioning, what do you call standard deviations, etc. 85% is they have errors.
Oh, you know? Okay.
So
okay.
That is a huge, huge number.
Yeah, it's a big number.
It's big number. So that is in the professional field, professional country. I mean, where sports science is the ultimate level. You know, we are just born now as far as sports science is concerned. They already started to jog. So that is reality. That is reality. We can.
But these numbers, Ramji, that you talk about, 80%, almost 80% having errors.
Yes.
Are these numbers that are India centric or are these global?
No, it's strength and conditioning centric around the world for multi sport.
Around the world. Okay.
Around the world. India centric, we don't have any data yet. That's why I'm telling you, they are jogging or running. Yeah. They have just been born in sports science. You know, that is reality. We can talk, as I told you, till the cows come home about all those things. We are far, far behind in sports science and sports medicine.
So what kind of biomechanical data, Ramji, is collected in India? Like when you are monitoring, say, someone like a Jasprit Bumrah or a Ravindra Jadeja or a Rohit Sharma or a Virat Kohli, what kind of biomechanical data is collected? Because they're
Biomechanical data is different from a workload management data.
Right.
Biomechanic data is part of workload management data. You can take a biomechanics data separately in understanding the human movements and analysis and to make some corrective measures, whether it's going to be running, bowling, jogging, et cetera, and multi-pronged approach. Right. Whereas workload management is incorporating your biomechanic aspect of it, your skill aspect of it, your physiological aspect of it, your recovery aspect of it, and your psychological aspect of it. Everything combines becomes a load management protocol. It is not only physical.
Right. So that is something which India does not have.
I think we have just started off with this load management. We need enormous data to fall back on. We cannot depend on data of other countries.
Right, yes.
You know, it doesn't augur well. You know, we need our own Indian data. We have been screaming from the rooftop that where is the data?
Absolutely.
We need data. Now only they started to collect. Maybe it'll take another 5 to 10 years for us to have our own data about an Indian athlete, Indian physiology, the lifestyle changes, the food habits, the psychological aspect of it. Everything is different from other countries.
Yeah, absolutely.
We identify that. We need to have our own, collate our own data, and that becomes an inference point at any level.
Because, you know, one thing, Ramji, one thing that has always stumped me a little bit, and of course, I have very little knowledge, if at all any knowledge, when it comes to, you know, biomechanics or workload management or the data that is collected or how it's firstly collected and then interpreted. I don't know too much about that. But one thing I know from looking at things from the outside, or one question that I really have is when you talk about something like a stress fracture. You know, when someone has a stress fracture, because a stress fracture is very different to an actual bone fracture, right?
Stress fracture is a bone fracture.
Right, but it's caused in a different way, and it's caused over a multiple...
Over a period of time.
Yes, that's how it's different, right? I mean, I could be wrong here.
It's not like direct fracture, compound fracture, or simple fracture.
Exactly. It's not like someone falls and breaks a leg. That is one kind of fracture. And then stress fracture happens over a period of time.
Absolutely.
So when a fast bowler, for instance, is diagnosed with a stress fracture, do we then not have the kind of science that we need to, which tells us that the bowler is heading towards a stress fracture? Because it's happening over a period of time.
These are red flags which will cut up well ahead.
Right.
We didn't have this load monitoring system, et cetera, 20 years back. When this is exactly maybe 15 years back, when L. Balaji was the first to diagnose a stress reaction, when it went unnoticed, and then it became a stress fracture. For him to make a comeback, it took nearly 2 years. You know, we had our own methodology of monitoring with a simple sheet. So that paved a good way for us to get into the groove, so that what is good for Balaji need not be good for X, Y, and Z. So we need to get the coordination right without ego. Very important, Akash, is to understand, everybody should understand the role. It is not strength and conditioning domain only, load monitoring. It involves the entire support staff, from the coaches, from the physios, from the nutritionists, from the recovery specialists, from the massage therapist, et cetera, the psychologist or X, Y, and Z. So you need to understand all parameters in incorporating a workload. If strength and conditioning person is going to just monitor the workload management, I think we'll be running like on the treadmill, same place.
Right, not getting any
progress anywhere. Yeah. So it involves the entire, for the team to be successful and the player to be successful, it involves the entire support staff team.
Right.
Each one gives their input and then you take it up from there. There are so many factors which affect the load management. You know, how to make it foolproof, there are loads of information available. You know, you can fix it for a long-term benefit. How this can be foolproof over a period of time. And then it has to be percolating down to individuals, as I told you earlier. So skill sets are different. There are so many factors which affect this load management protocols. You know,
absolutely.
For example, your stress, come back to the stress fracture, stress reaction, all those things can be calibrated for somebody like Jasprit Bumrah. People, see, we always love to do post-mortem. You know, as I told you that day, as I always believed in, this was told 20 years back, this was told 10 years back. What is the current situation now? Very important. Somebody has to bell the cat. Somebody has to take the responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, we just pass on the buck like a true executive.
But why is that? Why, as Ramji, as someone who's been part of this system and part of the system for a while, and you have literally worked with some of the biggest superstars in world cricket, very, very closely. Why is this thing in the system not changing? Indian cricket overall has progressed so much. There's firstly, obviously, no dearth of money. We all know that. Right? And there's no dearth of resources in terms of, you know, what they already have.
Accessibility. No dearth of accessibility. The thing is, you would have equal number of support staff in the team now.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. When you see a team photo, you know, I was seeing the team photo for the team that left for Australia for the World Cup. And it's literally divided into two parts. On the left-hand side, all the players. And on the right-hand side, almost equal, same number of support staff. Which is great. Which is fantastic.
It's very good.
It's fantastic. I mean, it is not, you know, a judgment that is being passed here. It's actually kudos to the BCCI and kudos to Team India for having reached that stage where each and every player can get individual attention. Whether when they're playing at home or when they're traveling. But having said that, the things that you are saying that are lacking in the system, it's things which can sort of, you know, tell us when a Jasprit Bumrah is heading for a stress fracture or a Deepak Chahar is heading for a stress fracture, etc. Why don't we have those systems and what is stopping us from getting those systems in place?
See, there are so many factors, Akash, involved in this. Is continuous monitoring. Very important. I think Lakshman into NCA and is setting up the system now.
Right.
I think that will bear its fruit a couple of years down the line. Now the system has started. So, which I proposed to BCCA nearly a decade back. So, the entire system need to be systemized. You know, the communication between the state trainers to the Indian team trainer to the NCA trainer, there has to be an open line of communication between all the support staff so that any sort of injuries, any sort of niggles is addressed in the initial stages itself. It can be physiological, it can be psychological, it can be biomechanical, it can be related to X, Y, and Z factors. But there has to be some flags at every point of time, whether it's green flag, orange, or red flag. Red flag, everybody should take a note. And that's why team coordination is very important. Open line of communication is very important. I don't want to hear what I want to hear. I don't want to tell the coaches what he or she wants to hear.
Right.
That is very, very unpopular, but I'm not doing justice to my work.
Absolutely. You know? Yes. Yes.
So,
you think that culture did exist, right?
Oh yes. Of course, I want my contract to be renewed. I don't want to rub anybody in a wrong way.
Absolutely.
So, there are things which this is not rocket science. Strength and conditioning is not rocket science. Let's understand that very clearly. Things have to be kept very simple. To keep things very simple, you need to get into the next level of advancement. Like Roger Federer keeping things very simple, whether it's forehand or backhand, he has worked doubly hard for that.
Right.
To make it look very simple, you need to know, understand what is the basics.
Yeah.
What are the basics? You need to be very strong in your basics, because basics vary from person to person, from degree to degree according to the professionalism.
Absolutely.
What is basic for Jasprit Bumrah may not be a basic for some fast bowler who is just starting now. Is
absolutely.
It?
Yeah, absolutely.
So one need to understand the basics, what is required for individual. Always people say, no, you hear this cliched word, go back to basics, go back to basics. What is basics? It varies. So we need to understand, especially the load management. We are talking about load management. We can fix it. When there are 6-7 factors. I'll tell you one factor just quickly.
Sure, sure.
First point which comes in my mind, it may be random and erratic, but but I'll tell you the points right away. When the players are not adequately prepared, you know, for the load which is given to the respective players, they are mentally or physically prepared to take that particular load.
Right.
That can be one of the, that can be fixed. Okay. Adequately prepare the players for progression and load protocols.
Right.
Second one, maybe it is also increasing the intensity and the load too much too soon.
Right.
You know, suppose my capacity is to drive a normal sedan. Suppose you give me a hypercar. Can I handle it?
Right. Yeah.
I cannot.
Right. Yeah,
I may have a hypercar. I may be able to sit down and feel the effect of it, but I may not be able to drive efficiently.
So for this point, Ramji, just to simplify things for our listeners a little bit, when you're talking about, you know, judging when a player is ready for a greater load, for progression of a greater load,
yes,
it basically means, say, suppose there's a youngster who's just burst into the Indian team and is playing T20 cricket and he's a fast bowler. Yeah. And his body is able to take the load of 4 overs per match.
Yes.
But his body is perhaps not ready to take the load of 20 overs per day.
10 overs per match, then progress to 20 overs per match.
Correct. So if you push him from T20 cricket straight to test cricket, then that's a problem. Exactly. If his body is not ready for it.
Exactly. There is a process in place. And also the age factor plays a very important role. As you age, you have to train smart than train hard. That's what Sachin used to do. That's what Naren Karthikeyan used to do. That's what Sharad Kamal did recently. That's what MS Dhoni did. All of them do it. Train smart. What they require for the body to keep them going.
Right.
You know, they had goals in their place. Like, okay, 1 year down the line, I want to be there. 6 months down the line, I want to be there. So you train accordingly. You know, they bring a lot of these gray matters in you so that they keep asking questions. Why and what? Why should I do this exercise for the instance? Is it going to be pertinent to my skill? Is it going to be pertinent to my game? Or pertinent to the format? Isn't it? That is very important.
Right.
You cannot go to Italian joint and ask for a sushi.
Yeah.
So you can, or, you know, it's putting it very mildly.
Yeah.
The third point, you know, also very important is the recovery protocols.
Mm-hmm.
You know, too much load during the week, you have this active chronic and acute load. If the chronic, and there are certain ratios which you have to maintain during the period in the safe zone. If it crosses that ratio, then you are in a danger zone.
So that
can be, because what happens, a lot of, I'm not accusing any SNC or anybody for that matter. You know, this is a trend which is seen all over the world to tick all the boxes to the management. A professional try to push the athlete beyond this certain range to prove that he or she is working really hard.
And that also happens, right, Ramji, as in that there is a culture for that, not just, of course, in India, but around the world. There is a culture for that, that when you find someone who is exceptionally talented, like a batsman who's exceptionally talented or a bowler who's exceptionally talented. And I'll take, say, for example, right now, Arshdeep Singh is being talked about quite a bit. And he has done very, very well since the time he first sort of, you know, came into this, onto this international stage, made his India debut. In fact, Umran Malik and Arshdeep made their debuts at the same time, but Arshdeep seems to have progressed more than Umran, even though Umran has more raw pace than Arshdeep. Now, if Arshdeep so far is playing T20 cricket, if you push Arshdeep right now to start playing, say, test cricket on a regular basis,
he'll collapse.
Exactly. If he's not ready.
Always a progression. You know, exactly. You're fitting a V12 engine to a local car.
Right. But what is, Ramji, as someone who is an expert on this, because this is something that most fans, again, don't know too much about. So it's important for people to realize exactly how important all of this is that goes in behind the scenes to a player coming out onto the field and performing well.
Absolutely.
What is the big difference when it comes to, you know, load management or assessing how much load a body can take between a batsman and a bowler? What's the big difference?
Absolutely. Load management. Again, we are just talking into the point. Now, these three points are very important. Load management is, again, bespoke.
Right.
It is not common. It cannot be common.
But if you assess a batsman,
assess a bowler, do a physiological, that's a protocol followed or anywhere in the world. Assess a person physiologically through a musculoskeletal screening, FMS screening, etc., etc. Then you do the fitness assessment. Then you know, according to the skill, according to age factor plays an important role.
Right.
You know, so how long they have been playing, etc. Those parameters, let's feel that those are given. Mm-hmm. We have got all the information. Then comes individualization. Very, very important. That's where the success rate lies. One size, as I keep telling, one size doesn't fit all. One man's food is another man's poison. So it has to be bespoke. For example, we have Virat Kohli, you have Rohit Sharma, you have Sky, you have Pant, you have whoever it is, in a top order batsman. Everybody is different.
Absolutely.
So it has to be individualized. What is required for the format? What is required for an individual? What skill set in the fitness protocol they need to improve on? Doing the same thing again and again because you have a tendency to plateau.
Absolutely. So for what you're also saying is that there are these set parameters that need to be applied to every cricketer.
Yes.
Regardless of the fact whether his or her specialization is batting or bowling.
Yes.
So, for instance, right now there is some talk that Surya Kumar Yadav, who's of course, I would say, India's number one T20 batsman right now, he should be given sort of a chance to play test cricket. Now, again, see, you have a Surya and you have an Arshdeep, right? And there are, certain schools of thought that feel that both should perhaps in some time maybe given a chance in the longer formats.
Yeah.
But they will both have to go through the same system and the same parameters to assess whether their bodies can take the load. Am I correct?
Because we are all like thumb impression.
Right.
Adaptation. Any athlete, those who are iconic athletes, their adaptability is brilliant. Any adaptable athletes are the iconic athletes, are world beaters.
Right.
The way they adapt will be different from every individual. For example, I'm going to put in an exercise or a prehab protocol. How the person adapts to a particular exercise format will be different from the one person to another. So it is all, these are all things which is incorporated in load management, where the coaches come in, the batting coaches come in, the fielding coaches come in, the bowling coaches come in, the physios come in, the strength and conditioning expert come in, the psychologist come in, the nutritionist come in, the recovery specialist come in, all giving input, how to progress that particular player from one phase to another.
Right, absolutely.
It is not just one person's call. If you want to, it's all a teamwork end of the day.
And also going back to where our conversation started and one of the first points that you made, Ramji, we also definitely need the facilities to collect data.
Absolutely.
The data that we don't currently have the provisions to collect, we need facilities to collect them as well. Along with, of course, everything else that you've talked about, we need to go out and get those facilities as well, which I would assume would not be a very big deal for the
business. No, it's not a big deal at all. Because already people, I think, I'm sure they have started to collect now.
Okay.
I think within a couple of years, I think we should have our data, right? Which we should have done it 20 years back when NCA started.
Right, right.
That's what we do post-mortem beautifully.
Right.
Like how do we get hammered in Olympics and do an inquiry commission and nothing happens after that. So, so it should not happen to our cricket players. And I think, as you rightly said, BCCI has got the wherewithal to get the best of the best and to acquire the best of the equipments. It's up to the people, those who are involved in that, how to harness those information, those hardware and the software to infer the best information for the players. End of the day, the players are the sufferers, not the support staff.
Right, absolutely.
You know, their career is always at stake and they have taken it as a profession. The owner should be on the support staff to give the best of the best with the best of the knowledge and ability to save the player and give them, not to just really save the players from any injury, and to give them performance over, increase the performance domain over the period of time, you know?
Absolutely.
That is important. Because one of the reasons which is... maybe two reasons which is not happening because there is not much of feedback got from the players or from the other support staff regarding the load, regarding the players' enjoyment. Sometimes the players are just going through the motion because they have to go through.
Yeah, because also there is that certain insecurity that sets in sometimes. That, you know, if I go up to the coach and say that I'm not feeling 100%, or if I have a niggle here or a niggle there, chances are that I will be sidelined for God knows how many.
Absolutely, absolutely. Those sort of, see, once you're running a professional thing, a coach will know that he or she is not making up a story. It is a genuine problem, you know. So that doesn't come into the play at all. That insecurity should not be there first place.
Right.
The player should be able to go up to the coach or the chief coach and say, I'm not up to it today because I have this issues. That is what the line of communication is very, very important. And the feedback mechanism, very critical to all the support staff and the players. Yeah. And if it is not done right, somewhere you'll have a missing link.
So globally, Ramji, just you know, just quickly wrap up in some time because I've already taken more time than I had told you that I will take. But just one other thought that I had globally, as someone who studies these things very, very closely, globally, who has made the maximum amount of progress in terms of maybe a country or even a specific team? And I'm not just talking about a cricket here. I'm not just talking about cricket. I'm talking about all sports, perhaps. Off the top of your head, globally, which country or which sport has made the maximum progress?
I think globally, America and Australia are leaders, world leaders in sports science and the allied fields.
And across sports?
Across the sport, where Australia is the only country where they play all the sport.
Yes, they do play.
Unlike America, where they are stuck on to NBAs and basketballs and NFLs, you know, and some athletic, I mean, some Olympic sport. But as far as sports science in Australia, was one of the leading, and some of the European countries, like Germany and UK, is doing a great job now. Lavrov is doing a great job. And, you know, we need to take a leaf out of them and make it, Indianize it. You know, we are different. There are so many variables. Yeah, it's like directly lifting off long-term athletic development, what is applied in US or some Scandinavian countries because it's been successful there and directly applying to India. How is it possible?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they eat dal chawal every day because they are practicing yoga. Strength and conditioning is new to us. But it's important. So idea is to monetize it as much as possible and Indianize it because we are different in many ways.
Absolutely.
Ideas, you know, were very important. And the sport, especially, I think EPL, they have gone to the different level now in brain mapping and, you know, brain training, etc. And Formula One.
Yes.
Formula One, you know, the technology what they use is directly, immediately transferred on after military. You know, high-end technical. You cannot get better than Formula One and technology.
Because that is actually a sport. That is a sport where the driver has to be one with the car. You know?
Absolutely. In a blink of an eye, you're a duck.
Yeah, human and machine, they have to like literally go hand in hand.
That sync has to be there. You know, there, see, there you are the projectile.
Exactly, yes.
So you have to be... All faculties should be working. Yeah. So, well, as far as technology goes, I think must be Formula One, where the ultimate technology has been used from cutting across any sport. A lot of research happens in Australia and America and some of the European countries. Germany and UK regarding other sport. So India, we have miles to go before we sleep.
No, so but at least
it may sound hard. It may sound not romantic, but this is reality. This is reality. Whether it's cricket is better because there are a lot of people involved, those who are very passionate about the game, and the ex-players coming in and setting up the process and protocols, which is brilliant. And BCCI, frankly speaking, you ask for anything, they'll get it. You will get it.
Yeah.
But it's up to the support staff to harness that to the best of the knowledge and ability to help the players.
Right.
It has to be player-centric.
Right. It has to be bottom-up is what you're saying. It has to be bottom-up. The information and the requests, they have to come bottom-up. And the BCCI is not going to say no.
Absolutely.
The BCCI needs to be told.
BCCI will give you the best support and best faculty.
Exactly. So that is what stumps most people. And that, you know, when they look from the outside, like we have the richest cricket board in the world, then, you know, why can't we get this? And you're saying that bottom-up, that information is not coming bottom-up.
Yes, and it has to percolate down to all the associations, the right information. And you need to have the right people at the right place.
Yes, absolutely.
Very important. Absolutely. Right people,
at
the right place to take in charge of the responsibility. Somebody has to put their head on the block and say, okay, I am going to take the responsibility or my head is chopped. It doesn't matter. At least you know that they have tried.
Yes.
Otherwise, you will be in the safe zone, sitting on the fence and, okay, whoever comes in, I want to safeguard my position as so-and-so. That is a reality. People may refuse me, but that is reality in Indian sport. Yeah. I want to play it safe, non-controversial. Yeah. I'm not going to put my head on the block.
Right.
You cannot be like that.
So, did you personally run into any problems or any troubles because of the fact that you went up to people and you sort of spoke your mind?
I didn't get into trouble, frankly speaking, because you know how to circumvent certain things. Because I don't want to talk jargon to people, those who are not even interested in that. Yeah. We need to talk the same language, what they understand. Suppose I'm going to talk to you some phenomenally technical aspect of it. You may think I'm a very brilliant man. But at the end of the day, when it comes to practicality, I'm a duffer. So you need to... Whom to talk, when and what to talk is very important. And how to get the work done is very, very critical. As far as I was concerned, BCCI helped me in everything, whatever I have asked. Absolutely no complaints. When I asked for from simple goo gel for high energy gels, which is nearly 10 in 2009-10 onwards, to any supplements, any accessories, absolutely I got it within a week's time.
Okay.
No, okay. Because you need to put it right. You need to put that in an understandable way.
Yes.
The management, to the players. If I'm going to talk, again, I'm telling you, if I'm going to talk some bombastic stuff about the biomechanics, the angles and the vectors, force vectors, angular momentum, etc. to the players, they are not interested. They may think, wow, he is next to a Nobel laureate. But reality, if I go and talk to somebody who's slightly higher than me, I may get hammered left, right, and center. So you need to talk. The players doesn't care. Players don't care. They want to know whether the exercise works or not. Period.
Exactly. And they shouldn't care either because that's not their job. That's not their job.
They write an exam.
We are no longer.
All their exams is in the field.
Exactly. We are no longer living in that era where the players had to do everything themselves. Now there are people around them to take care of these things. Players should just focus on playing.
Playing, and players are important. It has to be player centric.
Yes.
If there are no players, there are no support staff.
Absolutely.
So, idea is to make the players understand. Yeah. End of the day, very important is if they are not enjoying what they are doing, injuries are bound to crop up at every level. This has been proven in every level and various sport.
Yeah.
The moment you start enjoying the workout, like how Virat Kohli enjoyed his workout, enjoyed his fitness and took him to the next level, isn't it?
Yeah.
He should enjoy. Suppose he is forced to enjoy. He's like forced feeding somebody.
Yeah.
So what happens?
That's never going to work.
That will be directly reflecting on his load management.
Right.
Or rate of perceived exertion. He may or she may say, I am bored. My perceived exertion is 9 out of 10. Actually, it'll be 1 or 2.
Right, absolutely.
So you're giving a wrong impression, wrong feedback.
Right,
Absolutely. Or the peer pressure.
Yeah.
Peer pressure can give you a wrong feedback. Suppose I'm very tired today. Yeah. My another player is telling my perceived RPE is 7 or 8. My another friend is telling it's 4 or 5.
Mm.
So I'll also have a fear of peer pressure. Oh, okay, I also, it's 4 or 5, but I am hammered here. So you're giving wrong impression, or it can be vice versa. It may be more, you may tell less. It may be less, you may say more.
Correct.
So you need to get there. That's why open line of communication is very, very critical. Debriefing session after every week. And every week, goals have to be set according to the acute and chronic variable.
Right.
Debriefing is very important. Like Formula One racers, after every race, any racing, you see, they have a debriefing session. Immediately after the race, entire team sits down and they threadbare, they'll tear it apart. Because every microsecond, millisecond is important for them. It is not minutes, it's not seconds, milliseconds. Races are won there or lost. So we need to have a lot of debriefing session with the players and the support staff and understand short-term, mid-term and long-term goals. That will affect load management end of the day. It is not just entering data, getting vomiting all the numbers out. That is a different statistics altogether.
No, absolutely. And well, the good part is that we are on the right path.
Yes.
But there is, like you said yourself, there is still a long way to go. And again, one of the positives is that we have the wherewithal, at least when it comes to Indian cricket.
Yes.
We have the wherewithal to get the best technology that's available across the world and put it into Indian cricket. I guess we will need at least a 1 hour episode, Ramji, to fully understand the nitty-gritties. I wouldn't even say fully understand. I think we to understand maybe 10% of the nitty-gritties that of what goes into workload management overall. But it was fantastic having you here on Sportscast, because whatever we have talked about today, this is sure to shed some light, on this entire concept of workload management and player and pressure that the players face, the load pressure. So it's actually great to have had you here for this show, because it was an enjoyable chat, and more than that, it was an illuminating chat. And
very informative. Thank you so much, Akash, for the opportunity. I shared whatever little bit I know, and there are brilliant people out there. I think the learning curve for me also. You know, it's lovely. You know, I can learn, keep on learning every day.
Yes, absolutely. That should be the motto for everybody in life. You know, every single day is a learning experience.
Learning curve, yes.
You learn something new every day, and you must never stop learning. That's
when you're dead.
Yeah, exactly. So keep alive is to keep learning.
Absolutely.
To stay alive is to keep learning. Absolutely. Ramji, thanks so much for joining us. It was a pleasure having you here on Sports.
Thank you. Have a lovely day. Thank you.
You too, Ramji. Thank you. Thank you.